بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمد و نصلی علی رسول کریم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم یا ایوہ الذین آمنوا اتقوا اللہ وکونوا مع الصادقین صدق اللہ العظیم. Those have completed the salat in the second area can come into the masjid. Just be mindful of those who are still engaged in salat. I mentioned last night, Alhamdulillah, we have been hearing many discourses and talks from before Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan. Every night after Tarawih, we have a talk, tafsir. And I decided to change the nawiyat and give something which is beneficial, inshallah, to all of us. Because these are the maladies we, most of us, are going through or suffering, and this is a global problem. People used to write to mashayikh in the past. They used to write to Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali. People still write to ulama and mashayikh, and they have problems. Now, what is the solution to these problems? So what we will discuss today, inshallah, are the correspondence. People who had written to Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakat, Umar Aliya, Arif Billah, may Allah Ta'ala give him Sihate Kamila, Ajila, Mustaqira, Daim. I mentioned last night also, may Allah Ta'ala give him Sihat. Person looks at his face, radiant, it is beaming with Anwarat. We cannot explain. And this is because they lived a life away from sins. They lived a pure life and connected themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are letters and questions people pose to him, and of course there are no names given whatsoever. It's all anonymous. Our mashayikh ahlullah don't expose people's faults. When a person takes up the courage and the email or the SMS or the write or the phone, and they wish to remain anonymous, and even if they give the name, the mashayikh never ever expose the person. Sometimes it happens that in the course of the talk, because so many people are having the same problem, and that person who asked the question does not know, he thinks he's the only one who has got the problem. Now, because it's so widespread, it is mentioned without any person's name, so sometimes the person thinks, is the Maulana going to say things about me? No. But because it is so common and we all experience these things, and we have to be very wary of these things, especially our youth, our youngsters. So these were letters people wrote, questions, very simple, and the answers were given, brief answers, simple answers, but extremely beneficial. Now these are questions that many of us may have encountered, are encountering, or we have youngsters who have this problem. We do not know how to deal with it. Ourselves also. I cannot explain, but this is a genuine malady of our society today. From the emails that we are now receiving, and especially in the month of Ramadan also, sometimes you think, where are we going towards? Where is our direction? And therefore Allah Ta'ala put into my heart that I should give from my Hazrat Shaykh Arif Billah, Hakim Akhtar Sahib's solution to spiritual maladies for the lovers of Allah Ta'ala. This is the translation, the original is in Urdu. People wrote to him and he responded. So these questions, as we go along, we will try and cover up a few today, inshallah. And the course of the week will continue, and also from Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali, Hazrat Mulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi Ali's Islahi correspondence, where people had given him permission to compile it in a book form, and of course there also there is no names mentioned whatsoever. But these are common questions, and when you, as we go along, you will see how you can relate to these problems and what are the solutions Ahlullah have given. So we will mention these questions and the answers randomly. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The first question, the whole book, I just selected a few. A person writes, I am unable to avoid directing my gaze at women. This is a very common problem. I am unable to avoid directing my gaze at woman. Shaitan whispers into me, saying, you can look now, but do not look later on. Now this happens to many. Shaitan tells us, look now, but later on, okay, you can just make tawbah, or later on don't see. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, of course, these are not my answers. These are Arif Billah, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahab, Damat Barakatuh Ibn Aliyah, his answers. He says, it is not a matter of being unable to avoid. The person said, I cannot avoid it. So he says, it's not a question of not being able to avoid, but that you are not avoiding. You yourself, you are not avoiding. This is because you have no courage. Use courage to save yourself from this poisoned arrow. From this poisoned arrow. And I will mention now the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where a person casts a lustful glance, then this is from the poisonous arrows of shaitan. It's hadith Qudsi. Allah says, man tarakaha makhafati, that person who avoids casting a lustful glance at a haram woman, out of my fear, abdaltuhu, I will give him such an iman, the sweetness of which he will enjoy. In other words, a person who does not look at a haram woman, he does not cast a lustful glance, and he looks down, he lowers his gaze, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah blesses him with the sweetness of iman. And Hazrat mentioned a hadith, zina al-ayni al-nadhar, the adultery of the eyes is to cast a lustful glance. A very similar question, somebody else has written, I came across your booklet, Faizani Haram. I read it in one sitting and also cried in between. Hazrat, you explained evil glances very well, but it is very difficult to abstain from this. Kindly provide me with an easy treatment. The person writes here, I'm quoting from the kitab, he says, I am 80 years old but still cannot abstain from this. All my good deeds are being destroyed. You are most certainly a mujaddid when it comes to lowering the gaze. He says, to safeguard one's eyes in today's times, this person is writing, the questioner, he's saying, to safeguard one's eyes in today's time is like carrying a buffalo. May Allah help me and reward me. I will probably be able to save myself if I receive the sweetness of iman. Kindly honor me with a reply. May Allah reward you. Hazrat Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Damat Barakatuh Ibn Aliyah has answered and he said, just as one cannot cure physical ailments through self-remedies or by consulting different doctors, one has to establish a relationship with a spiritual guide with whom one has affinity for spiritual ailments. One can succeed in this regard by informing the Shaykh of one's conditions, following his directives, having trust in him, submitting to what he says. Now this is the reason why a person has to have a Shaykh. Not that the person wants now people to come to him, but just as a person cannot cure physical ailments on his own, and he can't go to doctor, from one doctor to another doctor, to a third and fourth and 10 doctors, he'll never be cured. Like this, a person has to adopt, take one Shaykh who he has confidence and trust in. So Hazrat then says, Together with this, one must make a firm determination of abstaining from all sins, especially sexual sins, and specifically evil glances. Casting lustful glances, this is the beginning of all the problems. A person must resolve that even if he has to lose his life in the process, this is something we all have to now understand, because this is going to be the solution to all those who are finding a problem, especially when it comes to illicit relationships. As I say, even if you have to give your jaan, even if you have to give your life, he says, a person must resolve that even if he has to lose his life in the process, he is not prepared to bear the temporary enjoyment of sin. When there's an inclination to commit a sin, to cast an evil glance, he must combat this with courage. Himmat, he must have himmat. There is no way of saving oneself from sin except through courage. You can't go to some, I'm just mentioning for myself, you can't go to some person, Hazrat, just make dumb, blow on me, read some wazifa and things come right. That has never been the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have courage to combat this. And Hazrat says, whatever success or failure one experiences in this, one should inform the Shaykh thereof and act according to his directives. So you don't just have a Shaykh for the sake of having a Shaykh. Person is very famous, alim, and everybody is going to him, so I also took bayah to him, and that's the end of it. No, you got to listen, you got to explain to him, you got to tell him your problems. And whatever remedies he provides, now you have to abide by those things. So whatever success or failure one experiences in this, one should inform the Shaykh thereof and act according to his directives. This is similar to how a person constantly informs his doctor of his physical condition. There is no certainty in obtaining a cure for physical ailments, but there is no failure in the path of Allah Ta'ala. No matter how old the illness may be, one is cured by the grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This system is through the blessings of the pious. Before a person passes away, Allah Ta'ala purifies him and then calls him to himself. The precondition is that a person should remain engrossed in accordance with the principles through dua and through treatment. Another person writes, and you can see the questions all similar. Hazrat, I do not have, then why I'm mentioning all these things in Ramadan? Of course, I promise you, I don't know who the person is, which country, which part of the world. There are so many times somebody emailed. Now, they require a long answer. So I just write, can you please meet me at Masjid Noor after Isha? He says, Ma, I'm from Canada or from Toronto, I'm from England, I'm from Australia. So, because we don't know who the person is. Sometimes people test us also. But don't worry, we come to know also. Allah Ta'ala makes it such, they make a miss. One person did it. He asked 4-5 alims. And somehow I came to know. Then afterwards he asked for maaf. He was looking for an easy way out. Or sometimes they use this to cause problem between ulama. May Allah protect us. Be sincere, don't waste people's time. But ulama are ready to answer and provide some type of solution. A person had written, he asked me, Maulana, tell me straight, is masturbation permissible, makruh or haram? Because I've been surfing the internet and I'm getting different answers. So why must you surf the internet and ask Mufti Google? Because he's definitely going to give the wrong answers. Ask the person who you have some faith in, who is not going to mislead you. He doesn't have any ulterior motives. He's not after your money or your pocket. Not after your dunya. He really is sincere. He wants to connect you and himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we have all these type of questions. So this person writes, Hazrat, I do not have the courage to mention my sins to you. However, you are the doctor of the ummah. This is Hazrat Kim Akhtar Sahib, Arif Billah. And I am the sick person of the ummah. My sin is that I am occasionally overpowered by lust. My nafs desires to look at the private parts of women and beardless boys, to touch them, to commit adultery with them. I tried on several occasions to implement all this practically, kindly provided treatment for this illness. Hazrat answered very briefly, he said, the only treatment for this is courage. You see, this answer is recurring. The only treatment for this is courage. There is no other treatment. Make a firm resolution. Thus, even if I have to lose my life in the process, I will not commit the sin. I will not bear this short enjoyment of the sin. It's a few seconds a person will get some ladzat, some pleasure. And as I say, after that, it's lifelong regret. A person will lose his life, his wife in the process. He'll lose his children. His parents will disown him. Society will disown him. He won't be able to come to the masjid. He'll lose his beard, his topi will fly away. Everything will change. He'll live a life of misery. So let us be careful. May Allah protect all of us. Nobody is free. Not even the alim or the sheikh is free. And therefore, all the time, tawbah, istighfar, stay in good company. Hazrat mentioned, let me give his answer. He says, it is because of this enjoyment that a person commits a sin. It's because of this enjoyment that the person commits a sin. If you make a firm resolution not to bear this enjoyment, it will not be difficult to give it up. When you have a desire to commit it, take courage and combat it. Another person has written, of course, it's not easy to mention all these things in the masjid, but what do we do? This is a problem. I know mothers and sisters are listening, but this is a serious, serious, serious problem throughout. Person is saying, I have a habit of masturbating a lot. At times, I've done this several times in a day. Hazrat, since you are the spiritual doctor, kindly provide a good treatment for this, so that I may move away from this way of sinners and come into the path of the awliya. As I say, even if you experience thousands of urges, take courage to combat them and bear the pain which you experience in combating them. There is no treatment apart from courage to save oneself from sins. Make a firm resolution that no matter what happens, even if you were to lose your life, you're not going to take enjoyment from the sin. It is because of this enjoyment a person commits sins. You should make a firm resolution. The same answer Hazrat has given, he says, extra, do not remain in solitude. Person is alone, that's when shaitan starts. When he's all alone. My wife is gone to her mother's house. My parents are not around. My children are not around. So then he switches on the internet and then he begins to watch all those haram. And what does it lead to? So as I say, do not remain in solitude. It is also necessary, because this person is doing this haram act several times a day. And of course, I will just digress from here. There are pamphlets and there are booklets, and Hazrat has also mentioned the amount of physical weakness a person experiences through this haram act. Person loses his energy. His memory weakens. He is deprived of the enjoyment of ibadat even. He won't be able to memorize easily. He'll find himself becoming very weak, tired very quickly. Now please, if somebody is experiencing this type of weakness, evening he gets weak, he may be because of sugar or other reason. I don't think that this person is involved. That's our problem. We always think of the next person. He is the sinner. Never. We need to rectify ourselves. So as I say, do not remain in solitude. And because this person has got this weakness so badly, as I say, it is also necessary for you not to remain in privacy with even mahram woman. Sometimes a person is alone with his own sister. Now because he is so weak, his heart is so weak, and he becomes overpowered very easily, it is dangerous for him to be alone with his sister even. As I say, think of the punishment of masturbation. On the day of Qiyamah, you will be before the entire creation. Allah Akbar. And Allah Ta'ala will make your hands become swollen. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah save us. Another person writes, I am most restless and troubled at night when my nafs is overcome by lust and becomes like an injured lion. It becomes very difficult for me to control it. As it says, it is totally within your control, but you are not taking courage. Make a firm determination that even if you have to lose your life, you will not bear the enjoyment of this sin. He says, if a lion is in front of you, will you fulfill the demands of your lust? Ponder over this. If a lion is in front of you, will you fulfill the demands of your lust? When you have this inclination of committing sin, do not remain alone. And if you cannot, if not, imagine that Jahannam, think of the hellfire, and the inmates are being cast into columns of fire because of this particular enjoyment. They are neither experiencing death there, nor are they being granted life. In other words, they're not being given comfort. Hazrat tells him, repeat La ilaha illallah 300 times daily. This person must have been a murid, so Hazrat had given him this prescription. This is not for every person, therefore it's important to have a sheikh, and then he can guide you. Sometimes too much of zikr is a problem, becomes heavy for the person. So these were some of the problems that regarding casting lustful glances. Another person had written, this is a woman who writes, She says, after pledging allegiance to Hazrat Amin Shideh, she had taken bayah to Hazrat Hakim Sahab, and she had attended one majlis. She says, I started observing Shari'i Parda. I am making much effort in abstaining from sins. So Hazrat answered, all praise is due to Allah. You have gone into Parda, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I am most pleased. Then she writes, Hazrat, I have one matter which I would like to ask about, and this is very common amongst us as well. Previously, I used to attend weddings. I hope my mothers are listening, some mothers and sisters. Previously, I used to attend weddings without observing any parda. However, through your guidance, I now completely abstain from attending weddings because of the evils which are prevalent there. As I say, mashallah, shabash, congratulations, I'm most pleased. Then she writes, Hazrat, my nephew is to be engaged. My sister and nephew insist that I attend. They are saying to me that I may remain in my parda. No one will disturb me. No one will take my photograph. It is only the groom's photograph which will be taken. Only a few men, that is my brother-in-law, his uncle, his family, they will come to the ladies' section. So Hazrat answers, it is not permissible to attend a gathering in which Allah Ta'ala is disobeyed. It is not permissible to attend a gathering in which Allah Ta'ala is disobeyed. Then she writes, Hazrat, I told them that I will attend one day before the wedding and go away. The answer Hazrat gave to this, this is what you ought to do. Go 1-2 days before the nikah takes place, go to them. And Hazrat says, also give them more gifts than others so that they may become pleased with you. Now this is a beautiful way, hila. Go meet the people. Don't just ignore them totally, because this is their joyous occasion. Now you are going to kill the snake without breaking the stick. So you're going to go and visit them before that, give them du'as, give them gifts, more than what others may give them. Then she writes, when I said this to them, that I'll come a few days before that wedding, my nephew said that I will have to attend the function, even if it's for a short while, and I may remain in parda. Hazrat answered, you may also lay down a condition. He's insisting. So you may also lay down a condition. Say, I'll come on condition that there will be no disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, such as taking photographs and intermingling of men and women. If there's only woman there, no photographs, then I'll come. Then she says, she writes, when I refused, my nephew said to my sister, you must also not attend any function of auntie. Hazrat, my brother-in-law is also saying many things which are causing great pain to my heart. Now this happens. So Hazrat answered, keep the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala before you. And do not bother about anyone. The hadith states, the person who does not bother about the creation in order to please Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala suffices that person. The person who displeases Allah Ta'ala for the pleasure of creation, Allah Ta'ala hands him over to the creation. Listen very carefully. The person who displeases Allah Ta'ala for the pleasure of makhluk and creation, Allah Ta'ala then hands him over to the creation. That is, he then becomes a plaything at the hands of the creation. Then she wrote, I've heard from our elders, it is unlawful to attend such functions where sins are openly committed. Hazrat writes, this is not just a statement of the elders, it is the ruling of Sharia. It is haram to attend such functions. Then she says, Hazrat, these people see that we are too strict in Islam. That we are too strict in Islam. Whereas Islam is not so strict. So the answer he gives, say to them, there is also not so much ease in Islam whereby a person begins to displease Allah Ta'ala. You can have such ease. You can have such ease. We do not want such ease. Then she says, they write, they say, we also have to move with the times, we have to move with the world. So he says, say to them, you consider it necessary to move with the world, we consider it necessary to move with Islam. You may consider it necessary to move with the world, we consider it necessary to move with Islam. And then she writes, you see, they say, those who become hostesses in Saudi Arabia during the Hajj days,
Why do they become hostesses if it's not permissible? Hazrat, I'm unable to provide answers to these questions to these people. Kindly guide me. So he says, whether it is Saudi Arabia or any other country, everyone has to follow the teachings of Islam. Islam does not have to follow anyone. The person who acts against the teachings of Islam will himself have to answer. What does it have to do with us? We merely have to follow the orders of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll just do a few more inshallah. I'm sure that we are finding some benefit in these questions and answers. May Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial to all of us inshallah. This is regarding pride. Person says, when a person doubts, very, very important question, when a person starts making islah of himself, now sometimes these thoughts come to the person. When a person makes islah now, he wants to change his life. He has heard some talks, etc. Now he doesn't want to be a proud person. So his person writes, when a person doubts whether he is overcome by conceit, pride or ostentation, is he really overcome by pride, conceit or ostentation? Or is just a merely, or is it merely a whispering of these ailments? How can I identify this with certainty? You see, I'm getting some doubts. The things I'm doing out of show, ostentation. I'm not doing with sincerity. I'm getting this doubt. Now, is it genuinely I've got ostentation or are they just whisperings of shaitan? How that answers the difference between whisperings of pride, etc., and the actual ailment itself is that it is essential for the heart to feel pain over the whisperings of conceit, pride or ostentation. On the other hand, the person who is really conceited, proud or ostentatious, he does not perceive any pain over his conceit, pride or ostentation, and the cause of this lack of feeling any pain is negligence of the heart. In other words, the person who is bothered, and he's getting some doubts now, he's bothered that perhaps I'm doing this out of ostentation. This is not ostentation. A person who's really doing things for show, he won't even feel anything in his heart. Because his heart has become dead. Why? Because he has become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, do not worry. These are just whisperings of shaitan. Another very nice question. He says, at present I've been confronted with a mental confusion with the intention of obtaining a treatment for it. By the blessing of Hazrat Rahmat Duaz, Allah Ta'ala wakes me up for Sehri and Tahajjud. He says, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi's book, Shauq-e-Watan, states that on thinking of one's past sins, and somebody asked me this question just last week, on thinking of one's past sins, one should cry profusely and seek forgiveness. However, so we all say this, think of our past sins, make tawbah, istighfar, cry over your sins. This is Hazrat Thani Ram is mentioned in his kitab. But then this person says that Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Saab, rahmatullahi, who was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi, Murid, Hazrat Thani Ram was the Sheikh, he says that when a person has repented in the proper manner, Allah Ta'ala wipes out the past sins. Now if you remember your past sins, it would mean that Allah Ta'ala wiped out your past sins out of His kindness, but you, by your remembering them, you are trying to bring those sins alive again. So you understand the dilemma this person is faced with. And he says this entails ingratitude to Allah Ta'ala. You should abstain from this. So after experiencing this confusion, I searched for guidance in Hazrat's books. I did not find it explicit. I therefore wrote this letter asking Hazrat to remove this doubt so that I may practice on what you say in the future. Hazrat has written, on some nights, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah used to read the following from after the Isha Salah till the Fajr Salah with such emotion that the kidneys of those listening nearby would almost burst. What condition Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah must have been experiencing at that time? As stated by the Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. And this is the Arabic couplet, Ya man ra'ani ala al-khataya falam yafdahni wa la tu'adhibni fa innaka alayya qadirun Rabbana zalamna anfusana. He says, O the one who saw me committing sins, but did not disgrace me. Do not punish me, for you certainly have all the power over me. He says, we learn from this that it is sufficient to be vaguely conscious of your sins. It is sufficient to be vaguely conscious. Now, you know you committed some sins in the past. And you don't sit and now you go through the whole past reel, as Hazrat had mentioned in some of his talks, Hazrat Hakim Akhar Sahib. Don't bring the past reel. Now, each episode, incident, hour by hour, minute by minute, this is what you did and how she came. You don't go through that whole process. You know you committed some sin. Vaguely, you've got, you bring back that consciousness. And it's our spiritual guide, Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib, Rahmatullahi, also used to engage in istighfar at the time of tahajjud with great humility and crying. And the sentence, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, which is mentioned in the Quran, that they seek forgiveness at the time of, at dawn, demonstrates continuity and supports the practice of Ahlullah of seeking forgiveness in the last part of the night. From what I understood from the books of various elders, it seemed that Hazrat Dr. Arifi Rahmatullah is saying that thinking of each and every sin at the time of seeking forgiveness becomes a barrier. Becomes a barrier because now the person will think, I committed too many sins, so there's no tawbah for me. Despite being overcome by the hope of forgiveness, the texts and actions of the mashayikh are sufficient guides for the validity of continual crying in istighfar. I make dua with all my heart for you. Person writes, I read the article on pride and backbiting. I found many shortcomings in myself. These illnesses have not come out of me. Hazrat answers, if you speak ill of someone and he comes to know of this, if you made ghibat of some person, and now you know genuinely he has come to know that you have spoken ill of him, it becomes necessary upon you to ask him for forgiveness. If not, in other words, this news has not reached him that you have spoken ill of him, then you must announce in the gathering in which you spoke ill of him that you made a serious mistake. There are many good qualities in that person which you have not realized as yet. Seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala and send some rewards for this person. Example, by giving some charity in his name. The treatment for, and then the other question was pride. This was on backbiting. He said, the treatment for pride is that you must say the following morning and evening, O Allah, I am the worst of all Muslims in my present condition. And O Allah, I am worse than all the unbelievers and animals as regards my end, because I do not know in what state I am going to die. So presently, I am weaker and most inferior. I am more inferior than all those who have got iman. I'm the worst. Fil hal. And fil ma'al, with regards to the future, I didn't know what's going to be my condition. So I'm more inferior than even the animals and the disbelievers, because probably a disbeliever might get iman. Develop humility in yourself and consider yourself beneath everyone. Be the first to offer salam. Comes in the hadith, al-badi'u bi salam, badi'u min al-kibr. You make salam first, you are freed from pride. Think of your faults and think to yourself that you have absolute knowledge about your own faults. How can the person who definitely has faults be better than the one who assumes to have faults? It is therefore also rationally necessary to think of yourself to be beneath everyone. Another person says, I have the illness of ostentation. The cause of ostentation is love for name and fame. Hubbeja. Our mashayikh mentioned in tasawuf, yeah, if you look at all the maladies and all the sins, boils down to two things. One is hubbi jah, and the other one is bah. Hubbi jah is love for fame, name. I want to be the most important person. I must have all the honor and dignity. So that is jah, like Fir'aun, Qarun. And the other one, hubbi bah, shahwat, what we described now, casting lustful glances, zina, etc. So here, ostentation, riya. The cause of ostentation is love for name and fame. In other words, desiring honor amongst people.
You should think to yourself, the people who are showing honor and respect to me do not really have knowledge of my faults. If they come to know of my faults, example, they come to know of my ostentation, they would consider me to be despicable. Even if I acquired honor amongst people through my ostentation, neither will those who honor me will remain forever, nor will I remain forever. How foolish it is to be happy over something that is so fleeting. There was no benefit in it, and I also earned the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. One person writes a very simple question. He says, show me such a deed whereby iman creeps completely into our veins and nerves. I want iman to be come into my entire body. In other words, that we are bestowed with firmness in iman. Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya gives the answer. He says, firmness in iman is achieved by remaining in the company of Ahlullah, adhering to the dhikr of Allah, and abstaining from sins. Firmness in iman is achieved by remaining in the company of Ahlullah, adhering to the dhikr of Allah, and abstaining from sins. Pay particular attention to all this. Inshallah, we'll just take one more, inshallah. There's so many other important ones as well. But inshallah, after Ramadan, we will continue. We have a program every Mondays, we have Thursdays. And as much as I don't like to mention that I have programs, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to use us for the khidmat of deen, then we should not hold back. May Allah give us ikhlas and accept. This person has written, it seems to me that the factors which normally break down the family unit are all found in my house. My mother sits alone all the time and talks to herself. An evil spirit has taken control of her mind. She is totally aloof from Allah Ta'ala. My father does not bother about any person. At times I feel like committing suicide. And I promise you, this type of question in this 1 year has come so many times to me from different people. At times I feel like committing suicide. If only Allah would not have created me, at least there would have been one less sinner and I would not have been in such pain. This is what the person is saying. As it says, repent from such shaitanic thoughts. These thoughts are from shaitan. Repent from, make tawbah from such thoughts. Do you think you will get peace from an unlawful death like suicide? Suicide is haram. Do you think you will get peace from it? As it says, eternal restlessness, eternal remorse and grief are decreed for those who commit suicide. Seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala. Why don't you think like this? If I were not created, I would not have been eligible for the rewards which are promised for those in grief, and the rewards of becoming the beloved of Allah Ta'ala for those who repent. What great rewards and bounties a person receives for a little grief in this world. So the person then writes, he says, did Allah Ta'ala not say, alayhi sallahu bi kafin abada? Is Allah not sufficient for his servant? So why is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for me then? Allah Ta'ala is closer than the jugular vein. Why then does he not look at my problems? He knows that I cannot bear his pains. This person is writing all this. Is Allah has promised, inna ma'al usri yusra, with every difficulty there comes ease. Why is this not the case with me? Am I not the servant of Allah Ta'ala? I have developed an inferiority complex because of my conditions. Every person who is happy appeals to me, but I become so remorseful of happiness. Hazrat, the condition of my heart and my mind is most strange. When I lie down to sleep at night, I do not fall asleep. My blood pressure is increasing. Will I remain trembling like this? Is there nothing but grief and calamity for me? The answer to all this, lengthy answer, I'll just quickly mention. These are statements of great ingratitude and impatience. Besabri. Nashukri. Repent. As this is, repent. Or else the reward which are promised for calamities will also be lost to you. But when a person makes sabr, Allah gives such reward. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. For sabr, when a person makes genuine sabr, the reward is limitless. There's no hisab. There's no limit. Allah gives a person eternal reward. Limitless.
So Hazrat says, repent, or else the rewards which are promised for calamities will also be lost to you. Understand well, calamities and difficulties come for our benefit as well. Provided a person exercises patience. If not, understand this well. Impatience and ingratitude will not alter one's destiny. Rather, one will lose one's iman and cause loss to one's own self. The reason for this ingratitude is that we are insensitive to the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. And because we have made decisions for ourselves, that is how we have to live in this world, this is what we have to possess, this is what is not supposed to happen, etc., etc. So we have made our own decisions. If a person is pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, difficulties become easy and his heart remains satisfied. And the poetry, I experience jubilation due to the acceptance of divine decisions. In adversity and grief, O Akhtar, the soul undergoes no affliction. Did you ever ponder over the words, Alayhi Sallahu bi kafin abada? Is Allah not sufficient for His servant? This is the question the person said. Is Allah, I'm not Allah's servant? Is Allah not sufficient for me? Hazrat says, what is the meaning of His servant? Is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for His servant? What does it mean? Ask yourself this. Are we the servants of Allah Ta'ala or the servants of our nafs? We're saying Allah must become sufficient for us. But have we become Abdul Nafs or Abdullah or Abdul Rahman? We are disobedient to Allah Ta'ala at every breath we take. Yet He shows us His mercy at every breath of ours. Is Allah Ta'ala still not sufficient for us? Look at how He has concealed our faults. We attached our heart to someone other than Allah Ta'ala. If He were to expose this to the people, would they not have spat on our face? Think of your past life. From what conditions He removed you. What humiliation He saved you from. Just stop breathing for a single minute. Think to yourself, what a great bounty this breath is. If Allah Ta'ala were to impose such illness upon you, whereby it becomes difficult for you to breathe, then think, what is easier? Your present grief or the difficulty to breathe? In short, think of Allah Ta'ala's bounties daily for 5 minutes, and this condition of ingratitude will go away, and you will develop gratitude and love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. These were some questions regarding spiritual maladies, and inshallah, the course of the week. And even after that, whatever we can gain, Hazrat's kitabs and his question and answers, there are so many. But I just discuss these few, may Allah ta'ala give us true tawfiq and hidayat. And implement these advices in our life, and Allah protect us. Allah protect us. Sometimes we may not be suffering from a problem now, which may have been discussed, but it can happen later. And therefore we should be very wary of all these things and protect ourselves in all ways. Make this dua, Allahumma arhamni. We can say it, Allahumma arhamni bitarkil ma'asi wala tushkini bima'asiyatik. This dua Hazrat has taught us, Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu Min Aliyah. Allahumma arhamni, O Allah, have mercy upon me, bitarkil ma'asi, by discarding sins. Help me to stay away from sins. So shower your mercy upon me, that I am able to stay away from sins. Wala tushkini bima'asiyatik. Don't make me a wretched person, an unlucky person, an unworthy, an unfortunate person, by disobeying you. So make me a fortunate person, a lucky one, by obeying you. I want to be amongst the obedient, so I can be amongst the su'ada, the lucky ones. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukru kullu la nashi thana'an alayk. Anta kama asnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa salim. Oh my most beloved Allah, my most kareem, raheem Allah, forgive our sins, my Allah. Give us that himmat, that courage, ya Allah, to refrain from all those sins, ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us, give us that himmat, ya Allah. Give us that courage, ya Allah. Protect us, may Allah. Protect us, safeguard us, ya Allah, from casting lustful glances, from zina, from ostentation, riya, from ghibat, from all haram maladies, ya Allah, from all the spiritual maladies that we are suffering from, ya Allah. You protect us, protect our parents, our wives, our children, our families, the entire ummah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially our youth, may Allah.
Ya Allah, you help us, Ya Allah, after the month of Ramadan. Give us istiqamah. Give us taqwa, my Allah. Grant us a taqwa. Make this path towards you become easy and enjoyable for us, my Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with the sweetness of iman. Ya Allah, do not expose us, my Allah. Disclose our faults. Ya Allah, hide our faults. Do not reveal our faults, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are so kind, may Allah. You are so tolerant, may Allah. Make us from your Ahlullah. Make us from your Walis, may Allah.
رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ